CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The news from Moscow. Vladimir Putin is reported by TASS to be planning to travel to Beijing in October of this year to confer with his ally, Xi Jinping, about the Eurasian matters. Vladimir Putin is hard-pressed these days by the story of the war in Ukraine, the sanctions on his country, the tumbling economy that we're told right now is in deterioration for decades, not just a few years, and the general confrontation with the West. Gregory, Vladimir Putin is traveling to Beijing. He's met with Xi Jinping once or twice. My memory fails me how many times they've been together to talk about their alliance, their friendship. How do you understand that relationship or that connection today? Is this strictly a cynical approach? What's in it for me? Or are they looking for the future of Eurasia?
Well, as we've said on many occasions in our discussions on this program, don't believe anything that the Western media says about Russia. Don't believe anything the Russian media says about the U.S. or the West. That's particularly the case now. We have to remember that Russia and China, going back to imperial times, imperial Russia, imperial China, going back to the Soviet times with the USSR and the People's Republic of China and post-Soviet Russia, Russia and China are the greatest threats and enemies of each other, threats to and enemies of each other. So, yes, they have to. We've forced them back together again, as the Cold War forced them back together as two communist nations. They acted in cooperation during the Cold War. But we saw how effectively that union broke down because they had military confrontations between Russia and China during the Cold War. And there were times when they failed to cooperate on the support of North Vietnam in the war against South Vietnam and the United States. This is going on today. Russia has been moving as strenuously as possible to consolidate its control over Central Asia and down through the Caucasus and Iran to the Indian Ocean. That is very much at the expense of the People's Republic of China. It was always part of Moscow's great plan to encircle the People's Republic of China. And now what you have is Moscow teaming with New Delhi, which is, again, a fundamental enemy of the People's Republic of China. So you've got Russia and India now cooperating in this great game. So, yes, they have to cooperate tactically, but President Putin is very much aware that General Secretary Xi Jinping was overjoyed by the war between Ukraine and Russia and by the United States' pushing of Ukraine into a potential joining of NATO so that Russia would respond and go to war with Ukraine. This has cut Russia off from any dalliance it might have had with the West. It's forced Russia to provide energy and food to the People's Republic of China at bargain basement prices, and that more or less saved the Communist Party in Beijing because they were running out of money. They were running out of any ability to grow food of their own, get enough energy of their own without great risk. And as long as they were existentially dependent in China on food imports from the United States, they couldn't go to war over Taiwan. So this Ukraine-Russia war, whilst it's been extremely damaging to Russia and to Europe for that matter, has been extremely beneficial to the Communist Party of China. And I've written about this before, we've discussed it. It's saved Communist China at a time when their economy was imploding, and as it still is.
Putin knows this. He understands this divide. And what does he want from China now? You say not really tactical, but what does he want strategically?
He wants a safety on the flank, and he needs to have trading partners. And in this new Cold War, Cold War II, you've got a global bloc of countries, which is very different from Cold War I in the second half of the 20th century. Cold War II has got two substantial economies, People's Republic of China and Russia, now able to couple with countries like India and Africa and Latin America to have a fairly comprehensive global trading system where they can trade without having to rely on U.S. dollars or the United States. So that's fairly critical. And certainly Russia doesn't want to interrupt that. It doesn't want to interrupt, for example, the BRICS combine, which is part of that, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and which will soon include other trading partners. So Russia would like to have stable trading relations with the PRC. The PRC can get some things for Russia, but we have to bear in mind that the entire PRC aerospace and aircraft industry and space industry separately are existentially dependent on Russian technology.
Let's go to Beijing. Let's go to Beijing then, because we can ask the other question, what does China want from Russia? You're answering it right now, but there's trouble in Beijing. Gregory Coplin, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.